Today, Pastor Carter and I want to know if we can actually speak to you we're 3 months away from being 42 years married. Woo! Oh, yeah. And I had a message all written out, and I disappeared because it was like, okay, you know, today I'm just supposed to speak like a mother, like a sister, like someone among you who has just to speak from my heart. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. And the best person I know that speaks from their heart is Pastor Carter. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome session because I think there's something very sweet when you can speak from that way. Well, you know, we just heard people talking about expectations in marriage. And you know, part of this session is what are your expectations of yourself and of your spouse? Do you place expectations on your spouse that only God can meet? If that's not met, how do you deal with the disappointments, even the depression that comes from unmet expectations? And is it really the role of your spouse to make you happy and all this? So let me start by I expect that I am one of the few or if only people you have ever met in your life that has lost five, either gold bands or wedding ring arrangement sets. Five of them. Oh yeah, five of them. Now I have a really good story how I managed to lose all five of them. Like, the one, the little tiny gold band at the beginning. No, honey, I know. It was great. I loved it. You know, but that little one, all the way up to this one. That is proof of, you know, how precious things in a marriage can be restored to a bigger, better way. Oh, yeah. The parable of the rock. I want to start by saying I am in a Christian marriage. It's a God-ordained, God-backed, totally resourced relationship instituted by God. It's His idea, His institution. He never fails at what He creates. I am in a Christian marriage. But I entered it selfish. I entered it unsaved. I entered it largely self-consumed. I entered it with a bad role model of how marriage looked like. I was afraid of commitment. I was completely afraid of vulnerability. And I married an imperfect human. Imperfect people entering the most dazzling, demanding, life-altering, fruitful institution ever planned by God. The day we got married, we knew nothing about marriage and little of what God thought about it. Fast forward to today. Just a few months shy of 42 years married, and I just want to tell you that we have made it. We are still standing. We are still loving each other. And we believe that the Lord really does save the best wine for the last. Amen. Amen. The most amazing thing I can say about a Christian marriage is that of what it produces. And the best thing I can say about a Christian marriage is not just what it produces, but when I want to tell you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you can really listen to the man who will follow me on this stage. You can listen to him, because what he's going to tell you and what he's going to share with you is, I want to say, he is what he preaches. Everything that he will open up to you and share with you, and I don't even know what that is. But it is amazing when your wife can say, you can listen to this man. He has lived, and more than lived, what he preaches. So two highly imperfect people came to the conclusion they needed to do it God's way. We got saved 5 months after we were married. And in doing so, I have found that doing it God's way is two people who are completely, radically different in so many ways. We started on the journey of oneness, and the two became one. And the amazing thing about in God's way of a marriage is that his strengths cover my weakness, and my strengths cover his weakness. And I think that that's what is so amazing in a Christian marriage, is God designed it that way. That really, one plus one doesn't equal two, but one plus one, actually, you get more. It equals three. I don't know how it works, but that's how a Christian marriage works. You actually get covered where you're weak, and you gain the other person's strength. And together, that one person becomes formidable in God. That's because I think that when we do it God's way, the two become one on the anvil of doing marriage God's way. On the anvil of doing it God's way. You know, there was a trend, there's a little bit of a trend going on where they take couples and they combine their names, and out of the combination of the two names, they get one name and it applies to the couple. So I got to thinking, well, hey, you know, what if that happened to us? What if we did that? So I took the first three letters of the name Carter, and I took the first three letters of the name Teresa, and I put them together, and it's Carter. Say, heck, I already took your second name. Can we just be Turcar in this? No, I just... Carter. And two become one. You know, what we used to do, friends of ours, they had little twins, and they met me in the hall one day, and after they walked away with their mom, they were about 3 years old, and they said, you know, and she said that, and the mom went, wait, who are you talking about? And they looked up and they said, you know, Pastor Carter, the girl. You know, there's a big, big verse in the Bible. It says, the just shall live by faith. And from that true reality, so much of understanding, faith is found in that. And marvelous and great preachers have opened up that one verse and unpacked it for generations, what it means, the just shall live by faith. But I do believe it has a marriage context also. And I want to put to you that I want to encourage you to believe God for your marriage. It will not be your feelings that will heal your marriage. It will be your faith. It will not be your feelings that heal your marriage and move it from a good marriage to a great marriage. It will be your faith. Because feelings change, and they should, because, you know, they're living, and they go up and they go down, and all that is great. But faith in Christ and faith in his vision for what marriage is and faith in his declaration of what it would be, where marriage actually is a type of Christ and his church, where it's a type for all the world to look in and see, how does God love his people? Well, look at a Christian marriage. God says, I'm going to back that concept. God said, if you will do it my way, I know you start out imperfect. I know you start out completely different. I know that you start from disadvantages and setbacks and wrong thinking about it. But he said, if you will commit to keeping my vision and my declaration about marriages, I will make your marriage a praise on the earth. It will be done my way. But if you will keep my vision, if you will believe what I said it is and what it's supposed to be in your generation, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. The gates of hell will not prevail. And what's pushing you and shoving you into a corner, into a dark place. If you will say, God, I, by faith, I believe what you said marriage is, what you back, what you will move heaven to change me and to change our situation. God, I thank you. You will not fail. It doesn't mean that I'm supposed to have an easy time in this, but Lord, I will not let go of what you say it is. And if I will hang on, and if we will hang on together, you will astound everybody. Of course, the most surprised being the couple. Amen. My expectation, you know what my expectation in marriage is? My expectation is, honey, I'm going to grow old with you graciously. That's my expectation. That I'm going to be putting blankets on our wrinkled knees, sipping hot chocolate through missing teeth, laughing with crinkled eyes, celebrating Jason and Megan, Jared and Julie, Kate and Ben, and all the perfect human beings that they have produced, our grandchildren, the PHBs, we call them. Celebrating what God did with such two imperfect and poor people. Celebrating and calling by name the Times Square Church family, because a church is individuals, it's not the corporate group. Calling by name the people we have loved and seen God grow and use. Calling by name the Summit family and all that God has done. And putting another log on the fire, because we'll need another log. There's lots to be grateful for. There will be much to say. You know, without an eternal perspective, beloved, earthly trials can be larger than life. You need a vision and you need a goal that no matter what, you're going to grow old together. You're going to make it through. You're going to defy the odds. You're going to look, you know, when this earthly life comes to a close, that person will be holding your hand as you're slipping from eternity and look into your eyes and say, no matter what, you mattered. You mattered to me. You had significance. We did it God's way. And there will be such abundance and blessing because two people persevered, not through a perfect marriage, through something better. A God-helped and a God-ordained marriage. You can be experiencing a difficult part of the road, but I want to encourage you from my experience, pull out and look at the big picture and say, we're going to go through hell and high water, but we will go through it together because God will enable us. He will back what he created. He will back what he has envisioned. Sometimes it can sound almost simplistic because there is so much to face, especially in the beginning years. After all, two people are in the process of becoming one. We all understand the gears grind till they lock in and kind of hit it together and move forward. Of course, there is that process. But I just want to encourage you that in eternal perspective, pulling out and seeing the big picture and where you're going to end up and all the fruitfulness that will come from your lives because you were faithful to God's image of one man, one woman, loving each other, doing it God's way. And he will put a crown upon your heads. And you will be a blessing to many. Because you see, your marriage just doesn't matter to the both of you. Your marriage has significance to many. God said, I will build a testimony in the earth, and it will be the marriage, which is older than the church. It's an institution older than the church. Did you know marriage existed before the church existed? And I will put my backing on this, what I have envisioned. And they will be unstoppable together. I created them in my image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. He made them to rule and reign together, to subdue, to multiply, to have dominion on the earth. And he had a wonderful plan. And when man messed it up, and when husband and wife came into conflict because of it, God's plan did not change, though we did. And he made a provision. He made a provision because of Jesus and the cross. But he said, if you will look to me and you will put me in the center of your marriage, I promise my promise to you and what marriage will be will remain. And I will bless that institution. And so, beloved, you will do much good in staying together. Yes, you will be seasoned with suffering. Absolutely. You know, because a good marriage doesn't just happen. A good marriage will be seasoned with suffering. Someone once described marriage like it's like having a spicy meal on a shaky table. A spicy meal on a shaky table. It's a, how true is that? You know, in this day and age, people have become disposable and commitment has become non-existent. We run from person to person. Therefore, we are doomed to stay immature, stunted, and permanently selfish. Do you know marriage is the antidote to all that? And what if you are in a marriage, God says, I can do wonders through that difficult situation. If you stay, the grand purpose and design of marriage will be accomplished because we will become more alike. First of all, their strengths will become your strengths. Their strengths will cover your weakness. You will have the joy of seeing your strengths also being learned and incorporated, becoming a marvel. People could say, but what if my spouse is disappointing me? What if I'm expecting them to change and they're not changing? They're not conforming to my ideas of what should happen. Well, you know, I once read something where they said the easiest person to change is yourself. Well, I don't know if that's true, but just being honest, I've given myself a huge challenge at times. But I just want to say what I think the change, what I want to talk to you today about is focusing the change on the atmosphere, expecting God to back the institution you have entered into because it's his idea. And by following the manual, he wrote the manual on how it works. One thing I want to bring to our attention is where it says to leave and cleave. And this cleaving business, it's about leaving. It's about forsaking every other thing that wants to claim our heart, and that rightful place belongs to our spouse after God. It's about cleaving. And you know what cleaving says? Cleaving says, I don't want to get away. That's what that means. I don't want to get away. Now, there may be everything in you at times that wants to get away, but we have to settle it. When I follow God's manual, he says, leave and cleave. I'm going to train my heart and mind. I am not going to run away. And it's going to move to, I don't want to get away. You know, they say that if every exit in this building was locked and a fire broke out, you know what we would do? We would fight the fire. If every exit was blocked and a fire broke out, we would fight the fire. And I want to say that this is how the cleaving business works, is that we are determined. We are blocking all the exits. We are locking all the exits. We are cleaving and saying, I don't want to get away, but we are fighting the fire because our life depends on it. We're going to cleave. Also, marriage, beloved, is not just I want to get away. We're settling that. And I want every other selfish love that dominates my heart that rightly belongs to my spouse. We're going to agree that marriage goes so beyond the I agree never to have sex with anyone else. That so cheapens what marriage is. That's not what marriage is. Marriage presumes the gift of self. Marriage presumes the gift of self. Body, soul, and spirit. And so marriage is learning the art. Marriage is learning to give the gift of myself to a person that I love but may not always like. And it's the art of learning to do that. It is the gift of self being given. And when Christ is at the center of our marriage, here is an awesome example. Jesus walked this earth, and Jesus never had a poor me attitude. Jesus, well, there was no one more maligned, more betrayed, more misunderstood than our Savior when he put on human flesh and walked this earth. There was no one more maligned, betrayed, or misunderstood than he, and he never walked this earth with a poor me attitude. And so we've invited him into this marriage. We're following his design of a marriage. And when you and I hit the rough part, he will be faithful to remind us, no poor me attitude. No poor me attitude. Christ is in the center and he's going to see me through. And he's breaking through all the bounds, everything that constrains me, has maligned me, has twisted me, has misshapen me. He has promised through this marriage and through this relationship of always the goal of giving myself as Christ gave himself for me. And as Christ is giving himself for my marriage, I will change under the Spirit of God. I'm inviting him in to drive out the poor me attitude, what's wrong, and he's going to raise my sights higher. I thank you, Lord, you're in the middle of this marriage. And I'm not going to look to the right and left to see how is my marriage going. Is it as happy as A or happy as B? That's not the point. I want to throw something out to you. I read a book once. What about if marriage was designed not to make us happy, but holy? What if the whole purpose of marriage was not to make us happy, but make us holy? I want to say to you, I think in the midst of our character being conformed to Christ and learning to truly love and give ourselves for another, we will find supreme happiness. But I think when our expectation is you don't feel my need and you aren't doing it for me anymore, beloved, that is how the world views relationships. And how's that going? But we have an opportunity to live another way. We are backed by God to think different because his life is in our life. And when we give our marriage to Christ, he comes in to transform it, glory to God. We are learning to give ourselves to somebody else. As scary as that is, as much as we resist it, as much as we fear vulnerability, God says, I'm telling you, do it my way. I will back you. I will cover you. You will only go from strength to strength and glory to glory. It will be something beautiful if you'll do it my way. And we're going to actually learn to love and like the person we marry. When we make our necessary failures in marriage, we're going to learn to fall forward. We're going to learn to fall forward. We're going to learn to fall forward into each other's arms. I want to say, in part of changing the atmosphere in our homes, is that letting your spouse say what they have to say. You and I have to be anointed for marriage. And part of being anointed is learning to deeply listen to your spouse. To deeply listen. To learn to get into their head. We have to learn that. We have to get out of our own head and get in to learn to listen to them and understanding from their point of view. We have to leave judgment, commentary, stereotypes behind. And then digesting what they're saying and really hearing it and being able to understand it at the right time. If there is a truth that you have to say, beloved, you will be heard. And then it will be your turn to have to learn to be able to share your heart and unlock it. You know what I have learned over time? Love listens. Love listens. There's the earmark that our marriage is moving forward. Even through our mistakes, we're falling forward by learning in those hard times to deeply listen to each other. Of course, it's legend in our household. I think one time, there was a time I really couldn't share how I felt things, so it all bottled up. You know, you just take things in, and then all of a sudden it's like a pop bottle or a soda bottle, and you shake it, and finally the lid blows off. And yes, one day I did. I blew up. I literally ripped up the sink. I looked at my husband eye to eye, and I said, it's me or the goats. And I wasn't kidding. We lived on a farm, and that's a long story. But I got his full undivided attention. But there are other times where me being me and couldn't speak easily, little by little, I would pour out my pain and my grief to him, struggling to get the whole out. He had to be so patient. He had to actually treat it was like a gift, even when 70% of what I was sharing at times might have been wrong and 90% said badly or bitterly. He listened and understood it was a gift of having to learn to open up. And no matter what I was sharing, he didn't make comment. He just received it. Maybe there would have been much in him that go, that's not fair or that's not true. But he knew it was neither the time or the place. He recognized the gift. And he loved me. And loved listened. And the two became one, the great mystery and the great blessing to the world of agreeing to go together and agreeing to grow together. So before Pastor Carter comes up to share, maybe the greatest challenging thought is, what if marriage, what if our expectation, that person beside me, is not on this earth to make me supremely happy, but we enter into this union and this marriage with Christ at the center, saying, what if this institution is going to make me holy? And then I'm going to be happy. It's a very different perspective, but it's one God backs. And we will have influence and impact in through our marriages. You know, that M word, impact, necessarily means collision, doesn't it? We have impact, there's collision. Marriage sometimes has a lot of impact. But in order to have impact out there, we will have the impacting of what needs to crack, of what needs to give way, of what needs to learn a new way to think. But Jesus at the center of it, I tell you, beloved, if this institution is going to change us for the better, we're going to grow more alike by growing more like Jesus. I tell you, it is worth it. And we will have an impact, and we will be great influencers as we grow old together. And people find a certain security in marriages that have made it and marriages that have survived. Those, if you carry on to the end, you have no idea the great influence and impact. Your marriage, though at times with great struggle, that's all right, through struggle, strength. And we move to something precious and beautiful. Thank you.
Pastor Daniel, I brought my box. You know, the theme of this last night and today has been hashtag whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. It sounds like something you eat with your eggs in the restaurant in the morning. But it's hashtag TSC, same team. Now, I want to speak for just a moment to the those who are free agents. That means you've not yet been signed to a team. You don't have a contract. And I'm going to ask you to stand, all the free agents. Everybody who's single here today, just stand. Come on, everybody who's single. Now stay standing. Everybody who's single, okay? Now, I want you to take a moment and look around and just see you're not the only single person. Just take a moment and look around. Look around, look around. Now come on, look around, don't be shy. You know that song, I walked around, I looked around, I searched around, I turned around? Bless the Lord. So thank God there's so many single people here who are interested in what marriage is and what it looks like, especially in our present day generation where there are so few role models of what marriage is, what benefit comes from marriage. Is there anything that will come into my life that can't be found any other way? Does it really work? And especially in New York City and vicinity, we're dealing with such brokenness in homes and families now and such poor role models of what marriage is that so many people now today are afraid of marriage, afraid of getting married. And I wanted to just share a few things from my heart before we lead you who are single into prayer today and then pray and renew vows for those that are married. I'm on my second marriage. A lot of you don't know that. Look how quiet it is in here right now. My first marriage lasted 10 years, and then God put an end to that. And then I'm married to the same woman the whole time, but my first marriage died at about the 10-year mark, and Christ took over for the next 32 years. And I have to tell you, I didn't know any better than most of you who are getting in marriage at a young age in this society. I didn't know what marriage was. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to give myself. I was completely selfish, very angry, had a very, very bad temper, drank a lot, and really didn't want to be married after getting married. I felt trapped, I felt snared, and I was on a wrong foundation. In the society today that we live in, most people are looking for somebody to fulfill their own needs. Can that person meet my needs? But that's not really the foundation of marriage. The true foundation of a Christian marriage is very similar, as the Bible says, to Christ in his church. It's how can I be used of God to meet this person's needs? It is a giving of oneself to another person. It's a yielding of our rights, our body, our future, our life, to see the full purpose of God fulfilled in that person that God brings into your life. And so many people get off on the wrong footing. And we get them in our offices and they say, well, she doesn't meet my needs, he doesn't meet my needs anymore. And my response to that is, where did you ever get the idea that marriage was about that person meeting your needs? Who told you that? And how come you didn't know that it was about giving yourself? For example, the scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for her. His focus, his attention, his desire, his life, his blood, everything given for her, that you and I might be free, might find our full potential in God. And of course, Christ is still giving himself for us today. And if he wasn't, then our sin, for example, would be counted against us when we failed. But because he's still giving of his own cleansing and perfection, our sin is not counted against us as true believers in Jesus Christ. Then, of course, the Apostle Paul says that marriage is the closest type to Christ and his church on the earth. If you have a Christian marriage and people visit your home, it should be somewhat similar to them actually going to church on Sunday. They should have seen something. They should have heard something. There should have been something in the expression of your love one for another, the way that you interact with each other, that shows them what Jesus Christ and his church really looks like. That's what marriage is to be. And I thank God for that with all my heart. I didn't know that in the young years, in the early years. I was, as I said earlier, selfish, angry, not just as a non-believer, but as a young believer as well. I had no role. I had really no teaching on these things, as many of you maybe haven't had either. And so it became a very hurtful thing for Pastor Teresa to be married to me in those early years. It was hurtful for my children when they were young. I brought the same stubbornness into my walk with God and made both marriage and family an unpleasant experience. If you want to know all about it, just get my book called It's Time to Pray. It's all in there. You'll get it all. And you'll understand how that God doesn't take a perfect but an honest heart. And he begins to work through us if we want truth. And reading the scriptures and seeing that there's something in marriage that's not found anywhere else in this world. There's something that brings me into an understanding of Christ's love for me. There's something that unlocks to me if I will be yielded to marriage as God has intended it to be. There's something that unlocks to me that no amount of study or prayer is going to bring into my life. It's something that God ordained to bring into my life through marriage. It's an incredible thing. And I want to tell the young people that are here today that are either just young married or getting married, it is so worth it to walk through the fire and walk through the flood and walk through the trials and walk through the misunderstandings. It is so worth it to be brought to the place where we are finally dead to ourselves and living, in a sense, for the benefit of the one who's the most closest to us next to Jesus Christ on this earth. And then subsequently, the children that come from that relationship, and then the grandchildren that come from that relationship, and everything else, all the extended family and all the lives over whom God gives us influence. It is so worth it to hold on. It's so worth it to plow through the veil of darkness sometimes. Sometimes it seems like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes it just looks so impossible to go forward. Sometimes it just seems so hard to resolve the conflicts and difficulties that come into this relationship. But I promise you, after 42 years that if you will plow through and trust God on this journey, you will find something of God that is amazing. There is something has exploded in my heart and Pastor Teresa's heart that we could only dream about when we were young. Something of God, something of his life, something of an understanding of his ways and his kingdom. And I have incredible expectation in my own life. I have great expectations for you in marriage. And I have incredible expectations for my own life and my own marriage. For I do believe, as Pastor Teresa said, that God saves the best wine for the end of the banquet, for the end of the feast. And we're starting to experience that. It's amazing just to love the person you're in the room with, to laugh together, to talk together, to look forward to growing old together, to look forward to there's a day coming when maybe we can't preach and all of the other trappings of life are gone, but we still have each other and Christ, and we can sit together as a threesome in our rocking chairs and, yeah, put another log on the fire. I prefer the fake ones you buy at Home Depot because they last longer, a lot less effort to carry them. But it is everything that God says it is. Everything. Everything. If you will pursue it God's way, if you will let God do in your home what only he can do. And let me just read to you a couple of thoughts that I wrote down about expectations that I have of our marriage. That's Pastor Teresa and myself. Number one, that our children and grandchildren might visibly learn through us something about God that he decided to show them through us. They might see something of God that they're not going to learn this in Sunday school. Oh, they might learn the concepts of it somewhere along the line, but the only time they'll ever really see it is through us, who have an opportunity to show them Christ and his church in a way such as they've never seen it. The joy, the love, the singing, the ability, in a sense, to resolve conflict. Yet we really don't have much anymore. I don't know where she went, but anyways. She didn't say you could listen to me. All right. We really don't. It's true. We don't. I almost felt guilty about it one time. We don't fight anymore. We just get along. We really have morphed into one person over the years. We started out very different, very different. I wanted a farm and a son called Jason in college. She wanted to be a high-priced lawyer. She looked at me one time and said, no, we, not for me, not going with you. But we were like, you ever seen the cartoon, The Cat and the Skunk, you know, Sylvester? Anybody ever seen that? A cat walks under a ladder and that's being painted and gets a white stripe on his back and the skunk falls in love with the cat. That was us. I was the skunk, she was the cat. I just kept showing up at her door. I just wouldn't go away. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I saw. And coming from such different perspectives on life, different life experiences, different ways of thinking, we stayed. We worked. We moved. We allowed God to lead us into ministry together. We supported one another in ministry. And our children now and our grandchildren see something. And I can tell that our children and grandchildren find it very attractive. They see something in us because the promise of Christ is life and life more abundantly. That is the promise of Christ. I expect that I might be given as a leader servant to my wife first and then my family, that each might find and reach their full potential in God. Given as a leader servant, the two that are inseparable from each other. I thank God that he has shown me the incredible power in servanthood. You can't really be a leader without being a servant. The one who rose up from the Last Supper and took a towel and washed the disciples' feet is the one who invited me to follow him. It's my heart to see my wife reach her full potential in God. 8 years ago, when she was asked by David Wilkerson to go to Summit International School of Ministry to help bridge the school to a place that it needed to go. And I remember one day she met me in the driveway of that school, and she looked at me and she said these words. She said, "I won't do this if you tell me that you don't want me to. But I see a future for this school. I see an incredible future here. The Holy Spirit has given me a picture of what he wants to do here. And I believe that I was born for this moment." And so immediately I knew the cost to us as a couple, that we would be at least 50% of the year apart. I didn't know it was going to be 8 years. And of course, there's still no end in sight for it right now. And I remember thinking it would be so much more convenient for me to have her at home. But you see, as Christ was given for the church, I'm to be given for my wife. As Christ was given that we might find our full potential in God. As Christ was given that we might be cleansed and have access to the throne of God, to the calling of God, the plan, the purpose of God. He was given for me and calls me to be given for my wife. I looked at her in the driveway that day and I said, "Answer one question. Has the Holy Spirit told you to do this?" The Spirit of God. She looked me right in the eye and she said, "I've never been more sure of anything in my life." You see, at that moment, as the husband, I had the right to draw her back from the will of God, but it would have been selfish on my part. It would have been because this whole thing's going to be very inconvenient for me. But as a husband in a marriage, as the type of Christ in his church, I knew that there was no choice when God speaks, that we are to obey God. And as a husband, I am to be given for my wife and for my family, that each finds their full potential in God, that I am used of God to help people to find their full potential, to help my children find their potential, to help my grandchildren find their potential. We're taking two of our oldest grandsons with us to the Summer Fire Conference in Ireland this year. Both boys were here on a Tuesday night. Some of you might remember that. They were jiving along in the front row with me to the music, to the worship. They do love God, both of those boys, and I thank God for that with all my heart. I expect that according to Scripture, my wife might become a fruitful vine on the sides of my house, and our children and our grandchildren as olive plants around about our table. I expect that. And I expect it all out of marriage. I expect it by being a husband. I expect it by letting my wife be the woman that God called her to be. I expect it by letting God bring the fullness of healing. If there's any area in our hearts that still needs to be healed, I expect God to bring that healing so that it might overflow our lives to our family and to everyone around us. I expect that as Christ's relationship with his church will eventually be celebrated at a banquet table, that our marriage will be the same as Christ and his church, that the best wine of our lives will be saved for the end. And we're starting to taste that. I mean, she's right there, by the way. She's not hid. She's right there, right behind the curtain. We are starting to taste of that wine now, that wine of joy, that wine of you've done it God's way, that wine of life, that wine of there's something in marriage that's not found anywhere else. It's like rediscovering a vintage bottle of red wine from the 1400s somewhere in your basement. There's nothing. I don't drink wine, so please don't go there in your mind. I used it as an illustration only. The Bible promises that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. We've had some great days. We've laughed and we've cried. We've had fun. We've traveled around the world. We've preached together at conferences, and we've just, it's been a wonderful journey. I can't picture, you know, the Bible says in heaven we'll no longer be married. I can't picture that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go right to the throne and I'm going to petition that. Said, "You said I could find help in my time of need." Well, I just don't see myself living for eternity without her, so could you kind of morph us into one person? Turcar would be fine with me. No problem with that whatsoever. Worst case scenario, can we live in a duplex? Can we our mansion be connected in the middle and we live beside each other? Because I just don't see living life without her. The glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former. I expect that we will be better than best friends for the rest of our days. I really do. Better than best. We can share the utmost parts of our heart. And I can tell you that today. I fear sharing nothing of my heart with my wife. And I hope she feels the same way about me. She's nodding. She does. Okay. We're safe with each other. We're safe. It's all out there. And whatever we're feeling, we can say. If we've failed, we can talk about it. We can pray. And nothing of the past is ever thrown up in our faces at any time ever by the grace of God. We're safer with each other than we've ever been in our lifetime. And you won't find that anywhere but in marriage. You'll never find it. You won't get it from your boss, your neighbor, your brother, your sister. You won't find it anywhere but in marriage as God ordained it. I expected we would be able to laugh, because laughter is a good thing for the heart. And sometimes you just have to laugh. Even in the midst of the flood and the fire and the trial and the difficulty. Pastor Teresa didn't like the farmhouse. Not only didn't she like the goats, she didn't like the farm, didn't like the farmhouse. And I remember when our house burned down and we first heard about it, we were away preaching somewhere, we came back and our house burned down. I turned to her and I said, "Well, you want it out, you're out." So sometimes you gotta laugh, you just gotta laugh. But it gets sweeter over the years, sweeter. Laugh at the funny things that our grandkids do. Laugh at the mistakes we sometimes make and the things that we do. And I expect that we're going to finish the race together. Right to the finish line. I read a thing in the news of a couple that died together in the ICU in a hospital. I don't know how many of you read the stories. A couple of years ago, they were both about like 80, 85 years old, and one of them had a heart attack and was taken to the ICU and was on the gurney and all strapped up to the machines. And the other person had a heart attack in the ICU. And they ended up on gurneys beside each other holding hands. And they said the strangest thing, the machine started registering one heartbeat. That's what marriage is. That's what God has for you. That's why I feel like I'm on the other side of the river, in a sense, calling young people here, calling young couples, calling you, saying, don't take the cheap way out of this. Don't sell yourself short. Don't walk away with a nickel in your pocket when you can have $1 million. Don't live for yourself. Don't be foolish. Go the whole distance. Read everything you can find in the Bible on marriage and believe it. And walk with God. And one day, every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, every family gathering, and we're starting to experience it now, your children and your grandchildren will be gathered around, and their spouses will be gathered around the table. And as the Bible says, they will rise up and call her blessed. They will, and they do. The respect that my sons have for my wife and my daughter has is God-given. It's God-given. The love that our grandchildren have for her is God-given. The joy around our table is God-given. There's genuine love. There's genuine laughter. We can gather together for 2 weeks in the summertime, which we typically do as a family, at least on two occasions throughout the year. And I can tell you there's not a harsh word spoken. There's love, there's laughter, there's joy, there's chocolate, there's ice cream, there's popcorn. Every summer when our family get together, I have a closet in the home that we have in the summertime we go to, and I've converted it to a store. And I put hundreds of dollars of chocolate bars and chips and gummy bears and gummy worms in that thing. And it is a free-for-all sugar high for 2 weeks. And we rent a bouncy castle, a big one too, and put it in the yard. And they just eat sugar and bounce and eat sugar and bounce. It's awesome. They're all exhausted at 7 o'clock at night. Then the rest of us can sit around the fire and talk about the goodness of God. There was a time, I'll close with this thought, there was a time when Pastor Teresa wasn't sure she wanted to stay with me. There was a time when I wasn't sure I wanted to stay in this marriage. And so everything I've described to you would not be today if we had chosen that route. We would have gone our ways and we would have perhaps found other people and made some shallow vows to them, which we didn't keep to each other. There'd always be that haunting sense in our heart that we missed something. We wouldn't know what it was, but we would sense we missed it. And maybe that's you today. But thank God that we do serve a God of the second, the third, and the fourth chance. We do serve a God who restores what the moth and cankerworm have eaten. We do serve a God who can heal what is unhealable. We can raise what is dead. Give back what the enemy has stolen. That's the God that we serve. That is who He is. We're going to take a moment. We're going to share our vows with each other. I didn't write anything down. I'm just going to speak from my heart. Did you write something down? Oh. I'm going to climb out of my box and I'm going to speak from my heart.
And I've got spaghetti notes.
And then we're going to, I want you to listen to us speak to each other. We've been married 42 years now. And then I'm going to ask the married couples, we're going to ask the married couples to stand, and at a certain point, you're going to speak to each other, because this is not a repeat after me moment. It means a lot more if it comes from you. Guys, do your best, okay? Do your best. I mean, just let the Rolodex roll and just like, from everything you've heard here, from all the sessions you've heard, just do your best to renew your vow to your wife. And wives, do your best to renew your vow to your husband. Then after we do that, we're going to take a moment and pray for all of the single people that are here. Now, all the single people that are here, you can mutter under your breath a vow that you tentatively are making to somebody that you haven't met yet. But there's really truth in this, that you're actually saying, this is the kind of a person I'm going to be when God brings to me the person that's going to be my life partner. Teresa, I love you. I forgive you for losing all those rings that you lost. But if you lose this one, you're going to put me in a terrible spot. I will, by the grace of God, live for you. I will do everything in my power that God gives me to see you find your full potential in Him. I will stand with you. I will applaud your successes. I'll walk with you through your failures. I will do everything I can to see that our marriage is a type of Christ in His church. I promise you. God being my strength, I look forward to loving you more every day for the rest of my life. I know it's selfish, but I hope that I die first because I couldn't think of living a day without you. by God's grace, we will run this race together. We will laugh together. We will love together. We will grow more intimate in our relationship than we've ever been in our lifetime. And I thank you for forgiving me for the real mess I made of the first 10 years of our marriage. Thank you for having a tender heart. I promise never to betray that again. You are a godly woman. And it's an amazing thing. Every time you preach, I cry. You can spend as much money as you want, anywhere you want to spend it. I will never ask. Ever. I will pay the Visa bill and I will not ask. It's been long overdue. I will see to it that the way I speak to you will teach our children to respect their spouses and our grandchildren to respect their parents. I will do everything I can to be a servant to you. And I won't close my ears or my heart when you need to talk to me. It's been a miracle what God's done with us. I love you.
Follow you in your eloquent words, but I can follow you where you lead. I promise I will be there. It's been such an incredible journey, and you've always taken the highest part, the hardest part, so that I could grow. Thank you. You don't know how good you are. You don't know how handsome you are. About the ring. We're going to grow by the grace of God. We're going to grow old graciously. I pray that my smiles will come easily to you, because they're always for you first. I pray that I can create a home where you will always find peace and strength to face what you must face, what you alone must face. But I want you to know that I pray for you and I stand with you. And we are one. And what you feel, I feel, even though you have to go out and you have to slay that giant, I'm behind you, praying for you and believing for that mighty victory that God spoke to you. Thank you for making it so easy to follow you. Thank you for loving me as nobody else ever has. Thank you for 3 children, and thank you for teaching me to love a dog. I hope we keep dancing in the sand.
Yeah. You don't know about that.
No. I want you to know you're supremely enough. I wouldn't change a thing. Thank you for the gift of words that you have. Thank you for every song you ever wrote for me. Some of them are really bad, but some of them are good. But I treasure every one of them. I pray that I may always have a word in season for you, that I would be a voice of wisdom, a voice of courage, and a voice of strength, and never a voice that would hurt you or pull you back from where you need to go. I love you so much. And I can't believe that me, shy me, is up here receiving every word you said and giving them back and loving it. I love you. Your love has changed me. Amen.
Standing, I'd like every husband to turn to every wife. I mean yours, to your wife. And as we did, when I count to three, you start speaking from your heart to her. And then when you're done, I'd like every wife to start speaking from your heart to your husband. Make it real. From your heart. If you need to just ask forgiveness. Whatever you need to do, do that on the count of three. One, two, three. Out loud. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. He made something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my wife. Oh, He made something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. And so, Father, we lift our hearts this afternoon for all the single people that are here. Firstly, that You break down in every heart the fear of commitment, the fear of what it means to be given so that another person may reach their full potential. I thank You, God, that You will break that fear, just even as we pray this moment, Lord. And God, you looked at Adam and you said, it's not good that he should be alone. You had him all to Yourself, and he had You all to himself, but You saw the need in his life. And so there are some people here today, it's just simply not good that they be alone. So we simply agree with Your word, and I'm asking You in Jesus' name to bring somebody to them, Lord, and deliver them from a life of being alone without a marriage partner, and bring them to that place of understanding and desiring to be given for the sake of another person. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You'll break down all the barriers, all the resistance, Lord, all of the fear, and that You'll give them their heart's desire. That is Your promise. And so we make no apology. We stand on that promise today, God. And I believe for them, Lord, that what You did for me, You will do for them. God Almighty. And we stand together as we stand all united against every weapon of hell that will ever be formed against any of the marriages that are in this room, Lord God, especially in this generation that is so deprived of understanding you and what commitment is and what family and home looks like. God, we're asking you to do something in your church, Lord, that will become the envy of the world. The people will see it everywhere we go and long to come to a knowledge of who you are as Lord and Savior. God Almighty, we push back in the name of Jesus this constant onslaught against the marriages in the house of God. We stand against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we cast it down in the power of his name. We tread upon these serpents and scorpions that come to bite, devour, and poison our homes and our marriages. And we thank you that you've given us authority to stand in prayer over these things, Father. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Would you pray?
Lord, I just add my prayer, oh God, for the precious single ones here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you would this day have warmed their heart. Lord, you've answered, oh God, deep questions. I pray, oh God, they would not be afraid, Lord, of keeping their requests before you. For you are good, oh God. And I pray for the ability, Lord, to trust you. And Lord, I pray for the many, Lord, that just because of this day, they are hearing hope resurrect in their heart, oh God, concerning a future spouse, oh God. And I just pray, Lord, a blessing, the blessing of marriage upon this congregation at Times Square Church, Lord, and that the fear of commitment would break. And Lord, I too add my voice, oh God, to what you want to do in the present marriages. Thank you, Lord, by your Spirit, you have done something, oh God, of moving us together in the Spirit, in the emotions, and in the desire for each other physically. I thank you, Lord, heal every part of marriages, oh God. And Lord, let us trust you because marriage is your idea, and you will back it with all the resources of heaven, with Christ at the center. So I thank you for the healing you've poured out today. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the vision of what you have done among your people. So we say, Lord, it is a good thing. Marriage is desirable. Marriage is a good thing. Commitment makes us better. Having children in marriage, oh God, I thank you. This is a good thing. So I just thank you, Lord. We hold up what is in your idea of what marriage is. We esteem it, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. May we communicate it to the generation coming up behind us, oh God, with anointing and power. Thank you for comforting every heart, no matter what stage we are at. You've done a miracle today. You have opened our hearts, oh God, and our spirit are alive to you and one another. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Great things he has done. Praise amen.
God. Amen and amen.